to the Friday edition of the Hagmann Report. We have a very special guest lined up for you in this hour, Pastor Jonathan Langford. You heard that right. Not Pastor David Langford, Pastor Jonathan Langford, the brother of Pastor David Langford. And we're going to have him on in just a few moments. Just want to kind of recap what Liz said. I hope she's right. I don't believe that that is the case. And if she is right, then she's right about, you know, one of the best bait and switches in, you know, American politics, at least in the last 50 years. It would be a sight to behold. And I think every person who is behind the Trump agenda, you know, would come out in the streets and celebrate.
You know, if it was anyone else but Liz, because of her, she's got a good nose for these things, and I have to give her credit. I've doubted her on a couple of occasions in the past, and I've been wrong when she's told me a few things, and that makes me think. But again, steak dinner's out there for her if she is correct, and I do hope from the bottom of my heart that's the case. I really do, because this, you know, this is just too much, too long, and too heavy, too oppressive, too satanic. And we're talking about children. We're talking about human. We're talking about, you know, you think about this. We're talking about people's sons and daughters. We're talking about beautiful children, beautiful people that are being victimized by these people.
Yeah, absolutely. Just looking at some interesting news here again. Tomorrow, the November 4th, Day of Rage or Day of Antifa. There's an article on Drudge. Weekend Antifa rallies in 20-plus cities, and it is from OregonLive.com. We said yesterday we expected to see possibly the worst of the worst in places like Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, San Francisco, California. They expect anywhere from a few hundred to a few thousand people to show up, according to the local Antifa leader there. And they go on to talk about how the violence is not an issue, that they don't plan on violence, but they might have to protect themselves from the evil Nazis, and they can't you know, see in the future to what would happen if that does happen. But either way, keep your eyes open and just be aware of your surroundings this weekend, especially if you live on the West Coast. With that, we have Pastor Jonathan Langford with us, the brother of our guest and friend, Pastor David Langford. He's been in ministry for over 30 years, from Oyster Bay, New York to Ellenboro, North Carolina. Him and his wife hosted Coming Alive TV program in New York. And Pastor Jonathan Langford, I have to get used to saying that. Pastor Jonathan Langford, welcome to the Hagmann Report.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be with you. An honor to be with you.
Well, the honor is all ours. And Joe, I saw Pastor Jonathan Langford in Branson. And he's an amazing man, just like his brother David, but in his own right. And it was just fabulous. I don't have the words to describe what I experienced there with both Pastor David and Jonathan Langford. But thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, it's great to be here. Again, it's an honor to be with you and just talk about the Word of God and what's happening in the world today, and get some kind of perspective on what's going on.
Yeah, you know, perspective is what we need. Context is what we need. And I think that's what's absent from a lot of reporting right now. All of the events that we're seeing take place all across the world, wherever one is listening to this program right now, whether you're in the UK or Europe or Australia, if you're listening to this, I do suspect that you're following the news, both locally to you as well as internationally. We're seeing a lot of bad stuff take place, but we're, in many cases, regardless of the outlet you listen to, you're lacking context. So we turn to people like yourself for that context. And if we can start out this way, where are we at in your view? What are you seeing take place all across the world in the context of biblical prophecy?
I guess the simplest way to put it is the world is organizing itself for defeat. We're living
okay.
in a... The world is organizing itself for defeat. You have basically two ways to go. You said in your open there that you guys turn to pastors or whomever. Well, I turn to the Word of God. I know David does, my brother. Any serious preacher of the gospel, teacher of the gospel, you have to have a point of reference to go by. And, of course, in the Old Covenant, the Word tells us not to move the boundaries. Psalm tells us in 16:6, he says, the lions have fallen unto me in pleasant places. So you cannot have blessings without boundaries. And what the world is doing, and this has happened over many years, as you well know, evolution, taking prayer out of schools, just the whole plethora of things that are happening in the world. The Constitution doesn't mean what it says. The Word of God doesn't mean what it says anymore. So I want to, if I could, I'd like to go to Hebrews to answer your question more specifically.
Sure.
If we could do that.
Sure.
In chapter 12. In verse 24 it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. So God is saying something to us right now today through the Holy Spirit, through the Word. He's talking to us even through programs like yours. You see it on the news, it's before us. For if they escaped not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So there's a groan from the throne that's taking place through the Lord to us, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. So what's happening, and this was prophesied in Haggai, I guess the two words I would say would be unshakable peace. We need to find that place, that center in God. With every earthquake, with every tsunami, there's a shaking, there's a change of the environment. So this really all goes back to Genesis 3 with the seeds being at enmity with one another, the seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. So what we're seeing today, and there are prophecy preachers that go into more detail, I'm looking at it from a pastoral perspective. There are people sitting out there today that are confused. They're shaken. They don't know where we're going. They don't understand what's happening in the world, and the only way I can understand it is having a biblical worldview. I believe the Word of God is true. I believe it means what it says and says what it means. And I believe the Word of God gives us a perspective with which to look at the world, to give us new eyes through which we can see. And so he said, unless you're born again in John 3, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So there are people, the word also says that they would come, that Tim would lay hold of the skirt of a Jew and say, let us go with them to the house of God because God is with them. So God is marking out a people. He's making distinctions and boundaries in the world, and we're seeing this global shaking. So there is a, you know, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what Isaiah says. So my word tonight to those that would listen would be, you need to find something to hold on to. You're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in man. You're not going to find it in yourself. So the Lord is casting a net to the whole world. and say, I have an answer for you. So through this global shaking, as I said, the world is organizing itself. But it's in confusion. And that's exactly what Babel is, the Tower of Babel. They went into total confusion. So, you know, the thing that Donna Brazile brought forth, and so the DNC, they're looking at things. Everybody's world is seemingly getting turned up. And I'm going to say this. I was praying before we came on the air. And I felt like the Lord said to tell people that there's going to be some shifting take place in your life, in the individual, in the family, in the local church, in ministries, in organizations. I firmly believe that the way things look today, in time to come, will not look the same way because of the shaking that is going to happen. So he said he was shaking everything in heaven and in earth. Paul tells us that the church is seated in heavenly places. So whether you're in the kingdom or out of the kingdom, you're going to feel it. But you need to understand what's happening, and that it's just the removing of the flesh, the carnality, the sensuality, the deception, the confusion, all the works of the flesh. And I'm here to tell you, and I fight the flesh like anybody else does, but God is going to cleanse the church, whether we like it or not. The fire is going to get turned up. So we have an answer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask a question, and that you guys, you know, jump in, of course, when you want. But the first question that was asked in the Bible was this: where art thou? And I would ask that to everybody. Where are you tonight? Where are you in God? Where are you in your life? Are you going in circles? You know, you have to answer that question. So I think that's maybe a starting point for the conversation tonight, that there's a global shaking taking place. And it's happening in all the dimensions of society, including the church and in our own personal lives. So, but there's hope and there's help in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, Pastor. And, you know, we see the increased tensions from not only the political, on the political sides of things, but also on the spiritual sides of things. You have just an increase of what we see from the people who are hating Christianity to how they've got it removed from, you know, schools, the courthouses. They're getting crosses removed from different public areas all across the country. And in some cases, they're even replacing it with, you know, Satanism in different forms. And this hatred that we see for the Christians, much like the hatred you see on the political aisle, you know, from the left to Donald Trump,
right,
seems to be, you know, obviously it's based on nothing but personal feelings. Do you think that where we are right now with this Western society, especially here in America, so many removed from the church and from the Bible, that this is going to continue, this sediment of hatred is going to continue to get worse until it reaches the fever pitch and they are ready to do what the Scripture says and be delivered up, thinking that they're doing God a service?
I think you're exactly right, and that's the serious danger that we need to be aware of. I mean, everybody has to take personal inventory. When the Lord asked Adam that question, where art thou? And again, I'm asking it to me, to everybody. When he had sinned, the Bible said he ran and hid himself and sewed fig leaves together. Fig leaves come from the earth. God was saying, you need something heavenly. And look up, lift up your head, your redemption draws near. The heavenlies, we have an upward gaze. So there is this absolute enmity. That's the word that was used in Genesis. He said there would be enmity between the two seeds. So it takes us all the way down to Matthew 13 about the wheat and the tares. And this is what people need to understand. I mean, I've studied prophecy for many, many years, read many books, amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial. I know those eschatological structures. But Matthew says, Jesus said, let them grow side by side. In other words, do not be soon shaken. This must come to pass. So the tares are going to ripen. The wheat is going to ripen. of necessity. Let me say it to you this way. The Old Testament prophet under the Old Covenant was like God's prosecuting attorney. And God would send that prophet as a prosecuting attorney to make the case to the people before he would bring judgment. He brought the evidence into the courtroom, if you will, and he would say, this is what you have done. You've gone into idolatry, whatever it may be, and he gave them a chance. So the evidence has to be placed in the courtroom of God, and that's what's happening now. Every man's heart's going to be tried and tested and revealed. There's nothing hidden that shall not be revealed. So contextually, looking at Matthew 13, when you see these things happening and taking place, this is nothing more than the maturation of those two seeds that were prophesied. So if you want to go run to a fig leaf, something from the earth that grows from the soil of Adam, then that's what people are doing. They know there's something wrong, but they refuse because of the hardness of their heart. They're refusing to turn to God. The problem is this: if you turn to God, first of all, to turn to God, you have to say that there is a God. Secondly, that if you admit that there is a God, well, you have to ask yourself the question: what is my standing before Him? And if your standing is not just and right, then you're in a position of having to ask for forgiveness, and the pride of man's heart oftentimes will not allow that. So this strife and this thing that you mentioned, it's going to continue. I hate to say it, but a couple of years ago, my wife and I went on an extended fast, and the Lord told me, He said, there's going to be blood in the street. You mentioned Antifa in your opening, and then we see this tremendous battle between flesh and spirit all through the world, this absolute demonic hatred of Christians and, of course, Israel. It's just going to get worse, and it's going to get worse. But the Lord says this must come to pass. So the wheat and the tares must ripen, those two seeds that are at enmity with one another. They will have to take their shape. And Ephesians 4 tells us that the ministry gifts that have been given to the church, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, those five, that's the hand of God, if you will, to lay hold of the body of Christ and bring it to a perfect man, a complete man, to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ, unto a perfect man, until we all come into the unity of the faith. So the kingdoms of the world are coalescing with one another, but the kingdom of God is also being shaken. God is saying, hey, wake up, church. Wake up, O sleeper. Take inventory of your life. So, and, you know, John 2, Jesus came in and turned the tables over. So the tables have turned. But let me say this as a word of encouragement. God's dealings with us are for our benefit and for our blessing. Jesus took the wrath of the Father on the cross. I would say to people, God is not angry at you. Even in our sinfulness, God loves us, and He chastens those whom He loves. So we should not mistake God's chastening as punitive, in the sense that Christ was beaten and abused and all the things that He went through. So He took His wrath out upon His Son. And I'm just thankful that the Spirit of grace says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And as the Holy Spirit walks us through this life and shows us our weaknesses and the flesh that's maybe in operation, I mean, there's nothing that the Lord cannot forgive. And I would just say to the folks out there, turn to the Lord. He loves you. He will forgive you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the flesh has to be purged out. And that fire of God is a purifying fire. That's what the Greek word for fire, to purge. So the junk in us, God says, I want to get it out of your life because it's an encumbrance. It's harm. It's going to hurt you, your family, your friends, your church, anybody that it's around. So I say, Lord, bring it on. Move us deeper. So yes, the strife is going to get worse. I'm afraid it's going to get worse. And I think the violence will get worse.
Yeah, Yeah, Pastor, I have to agree with you there. That's the way it appears is the way we're moving, and it doesn't look like there's going to be much that can slow it down. Kind of switching gears here, something I like to ask all pastors if I get the chance to get into a conversation like this with them is in the prophetic timeline. I want to ask you your insight as to the importance of Israel becoming a nation again and the 70-year anniversary of Israel becoming a nation again in the prophetic timeline that we are living in today.
Well, all of that is under the realm of the New Covenant in Ezekiel 31, Hebrews 8. So in 1948 when that happened. And you bring up, I was thinking about this earlier, I'm glad you brought this up. What would cause Islam to like America if we would turn our back on national Israel? I really think they would be our friends. If you think, you know, they're the great Satan, they're the little Satan. So there's an inextricable link between national Israel and the church, because the church, of course, grew out of Israel. So we have to keep an eye on the Middle East. We have to watch that over there. And but you know, as far as setting dates or times or those kinds of things, let me answer your question with this. You mentioned Israel. There were three feasts in seven parts in the Old Covenant. It was Passover in the first month, Pentecost in the third month, the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month. The church has currently experienced two of those feasts. This concurs with the three levels of the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. It also concurs with what Jesus said, some will bring forth 30, 60, 100 fold. It also concurs with 1 Thessalonians 5, 22 and 23, about spirit, soul, and body. And the reason I bring that up, you're asking about Israel. There is a feast that yet remains. Now, as I said, I've studied prophecy, and some will say that feast is future. But one needs to ask the question, is it future after the coming of the Lord? Or, if Israel was required to experience those three feasts in their communities, the question has to be asked, will the church experience that last feast? Because we did get Passover at the crucifixion, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2. So what about this third feast? What about tabernacles and atonement, trumpets? What about that? So you have to keep an eye on Israel because we are linked together with it. But as far as getting into, you know, who the Antichrist is or when he's going to make his appearance, and there's a whole eschatological lot of things there to talk about. I don't have an answer for that, but I can tell you this: we must watch Israel, and with Russia, Syria, the NOCOs, North Korea, this the nuclear material that's going God knows wherever. I think it's all is coming to a cataclysmic point, and I don't know when that'll be. But I didn't answer your question fully. But we have to watch Israel. It's definitely a part of what's happening at the end time.
Pastor, I totally agree with you on this, and I find it interesting. You just mentioned this about the, you know, the nuclear material, and I just, in thinking about this in quiet time today, I don't know what made me think of the Uranium-1. You know, I'm big in the criminality behind it. However, in some quiet time, something struck me as telling me that there's this spiritual component that seems to be, I don't quite know how to describe it, maybe accelerating the agenda, or this being part of that end time acceleration. Again, not trying to be, I'm not trying to interpret prophecy or anything like that. I'm just saying it's from a Christian point of view, and looking at it through the lens of biblical scripture, it seems like wow, we're right in a... It's almost as if, well, and I believe that it's divine. You know, it's what we're seeing is divine management. I'm not even sure how to even describe it, but there's a divine component to what we're seeing.
Well, it's an excellent point, and I think, again, the question has to be asked, is God providential? Is he sovereign or is he not? I mean, the Bible says that the Lord was slain before the foundations of the world, and I know that words like predestination and election and foreordination sends people into shockwaves. But I'm just to the point in my life, and I've studied this, like many have out there for many years. The simple way to put it is God is in charge and I am not. And there is a timetable with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob in the fullness of time. Jesus came. I mean, none of this caught the Lord off guard, Doug and Joe. It didn't.
And Pastor, I don't mean to interrupt you, but we are right up against the break. We take a 3-minute break, and then we'll be right back. Folks, we're talking with Pastor Jonathan Langford, the brother of Pastor David Langford, and he'll be with us until the end of the hour, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Pastor Jonathan Langford on the other side of this break on this Friday edition of the Hagman Report. Stay right there.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Remedies Kit. It contains 12 homeopathic remedies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Remedies Kit at www.changecoastandwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Friday edition of the Hagman Report. We are joined by the brother of Pastor David Langford, Jonathan Langford. He is a pastor and has been in ministry for over 30 years, and he's got an extensive history, and it's the first time we have him on the show. We have Pastor David Langford on the show each and every Wednesday in hour number three, and it's a pleasure to have Jonathan on with him. Jonathan, I kind of cut you off there mid-thought before the break. You want to pick up right where you left off?
Well, yes. At the break, I was thinking about Herod. Let me say it this way. There are basically four centers of power. I was thinking earlier today about the Trilateral Commission that was set up, I think, in about early 70s, that dealt with the political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical system. It was, I think, I recall it was North America, Western Europe, and Japan. And you had mentioned Israel earlier. So the Lord is trying to, he's not trying, he's going to release his spirit and his power in the earth. Israel is going to be involved. This whole election with Trump, with Hillary Clinton, this whole big picture is all part of a great big plan that God has. None of this has escaped him. So, again, my encouragement to everybody is we must press in, press to the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, and say, Lord, look, here I am. Adam, where art thou? Where art thou? Here I am, Lord, and ask him another question. Have you eaten from the tree? Well, he knew the answer to the question. So God is saying to us, to take a look at what's happening around us. Israel is part of that picture. Our country is part of that picture. The alliances that are being made all over the world. Again, it's a coalition that's coming together. And in Matthew chapter 2, if I may, I want to read this. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, which is house of bread, of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men. Verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. The world is very, very troubled over our alliance with Israel. The world is troubled over people that are firm in their faith. They cannot believe that people voted for Trump. They just can't believe it. They cannot believe that they didn't vote for Hillary. And I'm not talking Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, or whatever, independent. I'm talking about spiritual reality. So again, the shaking is taking place, and God is calling us, and you mentioned the word accountability and acceleration, rather acceleration. But what comes with that is things are moving very, very quickly, but there's going to be accountability involved. God is calling everybody into account. The old timers used to say, I reckon so, well, I calculate. So I'd like to touch on that word you used. If you look at the priest of the Old Testament would go out to the harvest and take that which was ripened first, and he would take it and offer it as a wave offering. And it was a prophetic symbol of that which was to come. Well, on the day of Pentecost, that was, if you will, and that feast in the Old Testament happened at Pentecost when he would take the wave offering there. Well, that happened on the day of Pentecost, and what he was saying, Paul said, this is the down payment, this is the earnest of our inheritance. There is more like this that's coming. It's like if I bought a car from you and gave you $100 down, there's more like that coming. So what we are anticipating is a great move of God. Again, the world is going to shake and roll, and the vitriol is going to get worse. I mean... You think about the police officers that were killed in Texas, storms, tornadoes, the violence that we see everywhere, pitting everybody against everybody. So God's people are going to come together out of necessity. Their hearts are going to be revealed of every nation. God is shaking in three realms. He's shaking nations, denominations, and imaginations. That is going to happen. The political systems, everything is going to be shaken by the spirit of it. It's a global shaking that's taking place. It can't be stopped. It's going to happen.
And, you know, we are, as we've been talking about, we already see the groundwork for that, really. And then, Pastor, would you go as far to say that this is the great apostasy that the scriptures speak about that comes in the end times?
Well, yes, and I'll refer back to Matthew 13. If you look at that parable, and there are several kingdom parables in Matthew, the wheat and the tares must ripen. Apostasy comes to a head. The seeds that were mentioned in Genesis, Ishmael, Esau, a baby rattlesnake is still a rattlesnake, but it grows up and becomes a big rattlesnake. Well, apostasy doesn't come out of no place. It doesn't come out of a vacuum. It's a seed. So just as the serpent said to Eve, what he did, she received unholy seed. She received, in a sense, a seed of apostasy. The issue in the Garden of Eden was not eschatology. It was not, and I'm not discounting it, or angelology, or bibliology, or hermeneutics, or any of those things. The issue was authority. Apostasy despises authority. They hate authority. This is why we see the perversion. This is why the Constitution has been attacked. This is why the Word of God has been attacked. This is why you have churches that are completely apostate. I could name them. Denominations that have become completely acusa, I'll name them. A PCUSA, the Methodist Church, has segments, and I'm just being honest with you, where they're embracing the homosexual agenda. Sodomy is the politically correct thing of the day, and so apostasy must come to a head, just like the tares must ripen. But it happens quickly. I live in the country. I mean, I like my tractor, and I like the farm and those kinds of things, and I know about the land. David and I were raised, our grandparents, we saw that. So there comes a time in that harvest that when you look out there, you know that it's getting very, very close. So, yes, the apostasy will raise its head, and see, Herod is angry. Herod is a prophetic symbol there of the nations and the kingdoms of the earth that absolutely hate America, that hate Israel and what we stand for. You got to realize, Islam is a late comer. I mean, you're talking 6th century A.D. And so you had you know, the Old Covenant, you had the promise of the Messiah, you had Christ born, crucified, resurrected, ascended, coronated in the heavens. And then you have Islam that comes later. So they absolutely hate the seed, so the apostasy is going to get worse. It will come to a head. But so will the maturation of the church and the saints. He's coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. So just as I said, in John 2, there was the turning over of the tables. There was the cleansing of the temple. And if you look at that last feast, the Day of Atonement, there's a Passover that's given at the beginning of our Christian walk. Our righteousness is found in the work of Jesus Christ, in what he has done. Titus 3, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So there is a righteousness that is given, and then there is a righteousness that is found and lived out. That's what we call the perfection of the saints. The Greek word, be ye perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect, the Greek word there is complete, mature. So we are complete in him who is the head of all power and principality. So again, let us not be anxious. He says to be anxious for nothing. We are not told to worry. We're not told to worry. We're told to pray. We're told to repent and get our hearts right with God. So the apostasy will get worse. The violence is going to get worse. Nation will rise against nation, kingdoms and powers and principalities. The apostasy in the visible church is going to continue to get worse. But the people of God will come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there we will worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said this. He said, you do err not knowing the scriptures or the power of God. That's the meal and that's the oil. You've got to have the meal and you've got to have the oil. If it's me, if it's all meal, it's dry. If it's all oil, it blows up. And you know, you can have charismania. You can have churches that are completely dead and dry. But when you mix the two, then you have something that you can put in the oven and you can bake. So people should not be discouraged. That you have to remember that the wheat has to be harvested and the chaff has to be removed. So God is removing chaff out of our life. He's going to shake you guys. He's going to shake me. He's going to shake everything. But the sifting has to occur. So when the wheat is put into the ground, yes, that's humility. That's the humbling of us. But he's making one loaf. He's making one loaf, and it's going to be baked in the oven, the furnace of affliction, but it's going to be right. It's going to be bread and manna for the world.
Very interesting. We're talking with Pastor Jonathan Langford. Pastor, I want to ask you this. Where are the churches? How have the churches gone so wrong in America in such a short span of time? And what are some of the biggest problems you see with Christian churches here in this country?
Well, there's a famine. The Old Testament prophet prophesied a famine of the Word of God. I was thinking today about Charles Darwin, strangely enough. He went to like a Christian college. His father put him in there. And the problem is this, is that you, as I said, you have to ask yourself, if there is a God, you have to ask yourself, where do I stand with him? So the natural inclination of the human, the heart is evil and desperately wicked. So we have had people that have crept in unawares, and they have brought a leaven. You see, let me say it to you this way. I have children. I have a grandchildren. As a healthy man, I cannot communicate my wellness to a sick child. But on the other hand, a person who is sick, they can communicate that sickness to a healthy person. And what's happened is the church and the ministers, the leadership, have let down their guard. They have stopped preaching the Word of God. I mean, I'm not just going to say it. I mean, this may be my first and last time, but look, we don't preach on sin anymore. You just don't hear it. It's commonplace for people to cohabitate, to fornicate. People, you know, change marriage partners. I mean, it's just so the Word of God has not been preached. Again, the Word of God is authority. You do err not knowing the Scriptures or the power of God. The Word of God is authority. It's power. It marks out our existence in life. So when you take away the ancient markers, and that's what the church has done. They have let down their guard. The intellectuals, the politically correct. So it's been a leaven, and that's why Scripture leaven was looked at as sin, and that's why Paul said, "Purge out the old leaven." Now listen, let me share this if we have time. In the loaf that was when the wave offering occurred, this is interesting. There were two loaves of bread that were baked, and this is interesting. Now Passover, they were told to get all the leaven out of their house, but with the loaves that were baked, they were told to bake it with leaven. Two loaves. I think it is not a stretch to say it speaks of the 2,000-year period from Christ to where we are now. From Adam to Christ was 4,000 years. From Christ to now is 2,000 years. It parallels what happened when Jesus came to the maniac of Gadara, and he asked him a question. And this is a question that we're all being asked, like Adam, where art thou? He said, what's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. So he cast those devils out of that man and put them into swine. And the Scripture says there were about 2,000 of them. And they were buried in the waters. The water is symbolic of the Word. So what's happened is this mixture has come into the church. We've allowed the world. See, God used Moses to get Israel out of Egypt, but God used the wilderness to get Egypt out of Israel. So there is a purging that is happening. And so ministers of the gospel, I know people are invested in their 401ks. You have pastors that they are are so ingrained in the system, they almost cannot leave. But you see, it's like when the brook dries up with Elijah. When the brook dries up, people are going to move on their way. They're going to have to of necessity. So, again, the Lord is saying, this swine, it's an unclean spirit that has come into the church. And you may remember that the swine had a split hoof, but it did not chew the cud. A cow has a split hoof, but it chews the cud. And it's the rumination, if you will. It's the going up and the coming back down. It has several stomachs. And that's the way it processes the food. Well, it's like Jacob saw the Jacob's ladder, the ascending and the descending. So the people of God ingest the word of God gladly. If it convicts us, we say yes and amen to it. We repent. We shun spiritual sickness. We shun spiritual leprosy. And you see, that's why the world hates Christianity, because it stands for something. It stands, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again into the yoke of bondage. So the church has let down its guard. It has compromised. It has taken up another gospel. It has lain with the harlot, and it's going to pay the price. But the people of God are going to go through the fire, come out purged, come out right, move into the most holy place. There were three dimensions: outer court, holy place, most holy place. Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles. Listen, the veil was rent. When Jesus died upon the cross, that veil was torn. See, in the Old Testament, God said, don't come near me. In the book of Exodus, God told Moses, don't let them come near. Don't let them touch this mountain. Well, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. So now the gospel says, come unto me. The Lord is drawing us near. So that distinction is taking place. The shaking's taking place. And the churches are going to pay the price. They're paying the price for their laxity, for their carnality. It's a Laodicean spirit. And it's going to be revealed. It's absolutely going to be revealed. And people are going to have to change churches. I mean, some have dropped out of church. But don't drop away from Christ. There are still Bible-believing. I know one, Pastor David Langford, for example, that preaches the gospel. And I like to think, the word is the word. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It doesn't have to be obeyed, but it can't be altered.
Okay. Pastor, what advice would you give to people out there who have left their church? And we get tons of emails from people who say that they no longer have a church to go to because of the church changing things that they teach, or, you know, accepting homosexual marriage, or whatever the reason is. So there's a whole huge group of Christians out there who have no church to go to, but at the same time, you know, are still very much involved in their faith walk. What advice would you give to those people?
I would say this to them, that part of the problem is we have put our faith in a system. And that system has let us down. I am not in a previous church that I was in after many years. I would say maybe they have put their faith, you know, grandma's church, grandpa's church, mom was there, dad was there. What it's doing, and I would tell them this, turn to the Lord with all your heart, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Turn to God and reevaluate your personal relationship with Him. God will make a way for them to find a community of believers if they really want to. They're out there, and what through your program and others, different radio programs, ministry media, God is bringing people together. But I would say to them, all right, you've put your faith and trust in a denomination, even in a pastor, even in a local church. All right, now put that effort, put that time into fasting, into prayer. Get back in the Word of God. Find another brother where two or three are gathered together. Listen, we're out there. We're out, the world, the media wants to make us think we're divided and we're not. We don't know what we're doing. Yes, we do, because we're going to bow before the Lord and seek Him with our whole heart. So I would say to them, turn your attention, fall at His feet. Thomas said, "To whom shall we go? How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am, not the church, not a church, not a denomination. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I say to them, turn your heart completely to the Lord. Get into His Word. Make an altar in your home. Seek Him with all your heart, and He will direct your path. He will do that.
Amen.
Pastor,
we've got about 4 minutes left before we reach our top of the hour break, and I have to let you go. Is there anything that you want to get into tonight, or anything you want to say that we have not gotten into?
Well, obviously, we could talk about the Word of God forever, but let me ask a question and then answer it. Why should we be encouraged? Because there are blessings in this journey. I'm going to give you three or four quickly. Abraham had seven separations in his life. God said, Abraham, take the journey. Leave your family, leave your kindred. People may have to change churches. So I would say to them, why should we be encouraged? Because God is with us. He's saying, trust me in the journey. Walk the walk. I would also say that always in time of famine, God always made provision for His people. He tells us there is protection in perilous times. He tells us He is our strength in our time of weakness. He tells us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He has our number. I mean, He knows the hair upon our head. There's a life beyond this life. I mean, He's saying, trust me. There are so many things that we can hold on to in God. I mean, He's all in all. So I'm saying to people, you hold on to Him. You trust the Lord. It's a time to be encouraged. It's a great time to be a child of God. With all that's going on out there, it is a great time to draw near. It's a glorious time to be a child of God. We will find Him in the shaking. We will find peace there. Our being still before God will lead us to being sanctified and cleansed. We're getting completely focused in the Lord. And it's going to be a good time for the people of God. God help the people that are outside the ark. But for the people that are in the ark, the same water that destroyed the evil ones raised Noah and his family to the top of the mountain. And I say to the folks out there, get in the ark, let the rains come, but you're going to end up on the mountain of God.
Very well said, Pastor. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was a great introduction, and it was a fascinating hour filled with excellent scripture and biblical teachings.
Yeah, and it was a pleasure seeing you, Pastor, in Branson. And I would encourage everyone near where you are, your church, to attend and to take part. What a treasure, and what a great treat for the Hagman Report to have you come on. We really appreciate it.
Well, I pray for you, gentlemen, and I appreciate the time to share, and I pray blessings upon you and your families, your life, and as you go forward with the Lord.
All right, Pastor, thank you so very, very much. It was a pleasure. Pastor Jonathan Langford, brother of David Langford, but nonetheless a pastor and a man of God in his own right, of course, just giving us that shot of biblical knowledge and instructing us to look through the events of today, however bad that they may be, through the lens of prophecy, through the lens of Scripture. And of course, we know how everything ends, and we should take comfort in that as well. So it was just a great interview, I thought. My goodness, a lot of great information and direction, inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, that's what we need. And you know, we have to balance out. We had a talk today about balancing out the events of the day. You know, we started the program out just incredibly in with the news, and then, you know, the incredible topic of the sexual depravity, and so to balance things out, this is This is the way it went. This is the way it goes. And how many shows do that? And you know, not too many. So we're going to pat ourselves on the back for doing that, doggone it, because we deserve it. But
absolutely. Anyway, and up next we have Keith Hansen, who's going to be joining us. He's a nationally syndicated radio show host of the Keith Hansen Show, and he was on just not too long ago, and we had the pleasure of meeting him a few years back doing the concealed carry classes with him, the law enforcement concealed carry classes. Just a quick minute that we have left before the break, I want to make sure everybody sees this, because this has not been reported hardly anywhere. In response to the terror attack in New York City earlier this week, NBC News hot take: Americans must prepare for a future where terror is routine. Kind of like what the mayor of London said, you know, terror is part and parcel to living in a big city. Well, NBC News put out a tweet: Americans must prepare for a future where terror is routine. And many people took exception to this, just even in the comment sections. And on Twitter, you can see the backlash to NBC as they try to justify this. And many people are taking issue with immigration, with NBC being fake news, and with them defending terrorists so often that we see it happen. We'll get into this more on the other side. If we have time, we're going to be joined by Keith Hansen, so don't go anywhere as we come into our final hour on this Friday edition.
Just what kind of thriller predicts the future? In 3 days in the Belly of the Beast, Daniel Holdings wrote about the God Particle before CERN actually discovered the God Particle. In As the Darkness Falls, Daniel wrote about an Islamist terrorist confederacy that rose up out of Syria and declared a caliphate 3 years before ISIS was ever heard of. In his newest novel, Between the Veil, Daniel talks about a space between dimensions where supernatural beings can walk. He says that these novels are a warning from the Creator to his creation. Will war come to America? Will the world's economies collapse? Are we looking at increased earthquakes and volcanic activity? Will the United States fall into civil war? You can find all of Daniel's work at his website, DanielHoldings.com. That's DanielHoldings.com. All of these things and more are talked about in Daniel's books. To find out what's coming next, go to DanielHoldings.com.
Worldwide demand is making coconuts one of the highest-yielding cash crops available today. Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and many high-net-worth individuals have invested billions of dollars into coconuts for strong growth and solid long-term income. Yields could be as high as 18% or more per year. Capital appreciation and exceptional income for up to 60 long years would be an absolutely brilliant investment to pass on to future generations. Diversify wisely with direct ownership of fully managed coconuts on prime farmland close to the beautiful Costa Rican border. For more information, qualified accredited investors should go to profitsincoconuts.com or phone 855-888-6288. That's 855-888-6288. This announcement does not constitute an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offer made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288 or visit profitsincoconuts.com. Profitsincoconuts.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.